Today we continue in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Trumos, and we are up to lesson 11. This is lesson 11, where we will be studying Trumos 3, Perek Gimel, Perek 3, Mishnayos 4 and 5, Trumos Perek Gimel, Mishnah, Dalet and Hey, lesson 11. Yesterday we learned, back in Mishnah Gimel, a situation where there are two partners who own a farm. And partner one, number one, let's call him Reuven, sets aside Truma on Monday. And Tuesday, partner number two comes along, didn't know what partner number one did. And partner number two, let's call him Shimon, also gives Truma. So we had a machlokes. Rabbi Akiva held that both Trumos are effective. The first one and the second one. Because the first one was really giving Truma for his 50% of the farm, assuming there were equal partners, 50-50. And on Tuesday, Shimon came and gave Truma for his 50% of the farm, and it's both Truma. In Mishnah Dalet, which is today's Mishnah, we are learning a little further about this. And we're following that opinion that this Mishnah Dalet is a comment on Rabbi Akiva. And the comment is, "Bamedvorim amurim bishelo diber." This is only true when these two partners don't talk to each other. Shimon didn't know what Reuven was doing, and Reuven didn't know what Shimon was about to do. However, if Diber, meaning, if Reuven said to Shimon, "Hey Shimon, I'm giving Truma today," and Shimon said, "Okay, go for it," so that's the Truma, and that's it. And whatever Shimon did the next day is a voluntary gift to the Kohen, but it's not Truma. The Mishnah continues and says, "Avol hirsho," if Shimon explicitly designated Reuven to be the person to set aside Truma, so there was a harsho. Harsho means a permission given to another person to give Truma for you. It's an authorization from the word reshus. Then the person who's authorized to give Truma is the one whose Truma is Truma. And as we will learn now, you can authorize other people to give Truma for you. That's the concept which we learned way back at the beginning of the Masechta of Shlichus. I can make someone else a Shliach. Not everyone qualifies to be a Shliach, but as we'll see in a moment, if I have my cousin, my son, my friend, my wife, I ask them to give truma for me, fine. Aval hirsho and ben beso. If I give a harsho, an empowerment, an authorization, power of attorney, so to speak, to give truma for me, I can give that to any member of my family, o es avdo, I can give it to my servant, o shivchoso, to my female servant, litrom, and I ask them, please give the truma for me. Then, truma, so truma. The truma is valid. Now, suppose I decide I'm a farmer, and I have no time to go out to the farm and set aside the truma. So I ask Shmerel, Beryl, whoever it is, please go and do it for me, and I hereby authorize you, you have my harsha'a, my permission, go do it. So he's my shliach. Then suppose I decide, you know what, I changed my mind. And I want to be mevatel. I want to cancel that authorization, that shlichus. So I can do so. The Mishnah says, bitel, if I've canceled the authorization, the harsho for shlichus. So it depends. Im ad shelo toram bitel. If I canceled it before Shmerel Beryl actually set aside the trumo. So the cancellation removes the shlichus. He's not my shliach. And if he gets to the farm and gives truma anyway, ain't truma so truma. That truma is not effective. I canceled his shlichus. However, I call him up at 9 o'clock and say, Shmerel Merel be my shliach. And he goes out and he does it at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And then lunchtime, I cancel it. After he's already set aside the truma, then I'm trying to cancel the authorization of shlichus. Too late. Truma so truma. That which he did, he is done. The Mishnah then goes on with a general rule with an interesting exception to the rule. Hapoalim ein lohem rishus litrom. If I have workers on my farm and I don't authorize them to give truma for me, we can't assume that just because they're working for me, they can give truma for me. No, only if I explicitly authorize them, harsha'a, you can do so, please do so, then they can do so. Otherwise, they cannot take it upon themselves. They're just like strangers, even though they may work there, and may they be on the farm more than I am. But nevertheless, they're not authorized. Po'alim cannot be shlichim. However, there's an exception to that rule, and that is chutz min hadorochos. Here, there are various explanations. We'll follow the explanation of the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos. And he says that the Dorochos are workers who are assigned the special job of pressing grapes in the Gas, Gimel Sof. The Gas is the wine press where they would press grapes into grape juice and eventually into wine. Now, once these grapes are pressed, they are now hukshuru lekabel tumo. They are now susceptible to be contaminated with uncleanliness, with impurity, with tumo. And they very likely will become tome. So therefore, when it comes to those workers, we assume that the farmer wants them to give truma immediately, before it can become tome. Shehem mitameim es hagas miyot. That since it's possible for these workers to be careless and to make this yayin tome, because the yayin is already huchshu lekabel tuma, it's been moistened by its own juice, so therefore it's susceptible to tuma. So therefore we assume that the farmer gave them this assignment and trusts them as they were shlichim, as if they are his own messengers, his own agents, and since they can have the power to make his wine tome, they certainly have the power to make part of his wine truma. So these workers, these dorochos, they can assume that they are shlichim, and they're setting aside some of the wine as truma is valid truma. Otherwise, other workers have no permission to assume that, no matter how close they are to the farmer, etc., how loyal workers they are, they have no reshus litrom. So that's Mishnah Dalet. Now we go on to Mishnah Hey. Until now, we've been trying to make things simple. And I've been saying that basically there's two steps to truma. Number one, you set aside, you have 100 bushels of wheat. So you set aside 2 of those bushels, pick them up, put them in a corner and say, that's truma. And eventually you take those 2 bushels and give them to the Kohen. That's hafroshas truma, setting aside the truma, and nesinas truma, giving it to the Kohen. However, suppose I have a big bushel of wheat, 1 big bushel, and I want to give truma from this bushel on behalf of the rest of the bushel. The bushel is 10 pounds. So I want to give 0.5 pound of it as truma. And I say as follows. So Omer, trumas hakri ze betocho. The truma for this bushel is in it. It's a 10-pound bushel. In it is 10 pounds of wheat. In it is the truma, the 1/50th that I'd like to give. And furthermore, I say that after giving truma, I have to give maaser. I have to give 1/10 to the Levi, maaserishon. That maaserishon, that's in it too. It's in there somewhere, betocho. And more than that, trumas maaser ze betocho. I say also that of that Maaser Rishon, that one-tenth that I, the farmer, have to give, of that the Levi will have to give one-tenth of one-tenth, Trumas Maaser, Maaser Mina Maaser, to the Kohen. That's also in it. So all I'm saying is, it is in it. I see the key word betocho. Somewhere in this bushel is Truma, Maaser, Trumas Maaser. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Koroshem. Rabbi Shimon says, fine. He has called the name. He has pronounced that amount of wheat, Truma. He's pronounced that amount of wheat, Maaser Rishon. Fine. It is Truma, Maaser Rishon there. And of course, at some point, he's going to have to scoop out 1/50th for Truma, 1/10th for Maaser Rishon, etc. But it's in there. It's valid. It's valid. Even though all he said is betocho. He didn't say if it's the top part of the bushel, the bottom part of the bushel, the north side of the bushel, the south side of the bushel. He only said the words in the bushel. Now there's a halacha, which is explained in the Gemara Maseches Erevin, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, that because the Pasuk, when it speaks about Truma, uses the phrase, Reishis Tigoncho, you are to give the reishis, the beginning, the first gift of your produce, of your crops, are supposed to be given to the Kohen Truma. Reishis means the beginning of, the first part of, which assumes there's more to it. This is just the first part of the bushel, and this will be Truma upon and on behalf of the rest of it. So the Gemara darshins the words, reishis sheyihiyu shioreha nikorim. When you give Truma, the rest of it has to be something which is visible, tangible, measurable. I have 100 bushels of wheat. I take aside 2. So the shiurayim, the leftover, the 98 bushels, are nikorim, are apparent, obvious. I can see them. Shioreha nikorim. Is this shioreha nikorim, the question can be asked? I have one big bushel, and all I'm saying is that the truma is bitocho, in it somewhere. Rabbi Shimon says, yes, that's sufficient. In it somewhere, somewhere there's truma, the rest of it is shioreha nikorim. However, the chachomim, the next line, disagree. The chachomim omrim, ad sheyomar, no, he must be specific and say, in this huge bushel of wheat, I'm designating the northern tip of it to be Truma, Bitzvono, or Bidromo, or the southern tip of it. Then that qualifies as Shioreha Nikorim. Whatever is in the northern tip is Truma, the rest of it is non-Truma. Fine, but if I just say the words Bitocho, in it, without specifying north part, south part, it's not sufficiently distinct. Rabbi Lozo Chisba Omer, Ha'omer Trumas Hakri Mimenu Olov Koroshem. Rabbi Loza Chismas follows the general thinking of Rabbi Shimon and goes one step further. Rabbi Shimon, you say that he has to at least use the word betocho in it. I say he doesn't have to say that either. If he just says Trumas Hakri Mimenu Olov, that the kri, this kri, there's truma there, there's everything else there, it's fine. That's Koroshem, that's already pronouncing it Truma. He doesn't have to say specifically the word Bisocho, and he certainly doesn't have to say the word Bitzvono in the northern tip. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Ha'omer Isur Ze, Osui Trumas Maaser Olov Koroshem. Again here, there are various opinions as to how we're to understand this. I will follow the opinion of the Bartanura, who in turn follows the opinion of the Rash as to how we ought to understand this last saying, this opinion of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says, unlike Rabbi Shimon, who says that if the farmer has this huge bushel of 10 pounds of wheat, and he says, Trumas Maaser Ze Besocho, he says that what the Levi has to give one-tenth of the tenth, Trumas Maaser from the Maaser Rishon, is in it, that's not sufficient. you first have to separate out the Ma'aser Rishon, and then you can say, in this Ma'aser Rishon, 1/10 from the Levi goes to the Kohen. But if it's all mishkabibbled, if it's all put together in one big kri, the original grain, from which you took truma, from which you took maaser, and now you want to take truma's maaser from the maaser, that can't be done. Too much confusion, so to speak. What you have to do is, first, set aside physically the maaser rishon. And then you can say, in this maaser rishon, 1/10 of it is truma. That would be sufficient. That's the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Again, as I pointed out, there are other opinions, but this is the opinion suggested by the Bar Tanura as to what Rav Elazar ben Yaakov means. So we have finished lesson number 11.